present Brian Appleton's Christmas single.
With Brian Appleton. And here he is, Mr. Brian Appleton. Give it up for Brian. Good evening and welcome. I'm not going to say Merry Christmas. I might say it at the end. I'm Brian Appleton, as you think you've gathered that by now. You know that I'm Brian. And my surname is Appleton. And I'm a rock musicologist and part-time lecturer in media studies at a College of Further Education in the Newcastle-under-Lyme area, which is where we are now, ready to begin my seasonal seminar, The History of the Christmas Single. As it's Christmas, the lecture will be largely informal. There'll be fun elements, including a Yuletide rap, which name-checks every Christmas number one since 1952. We'll also be learning how, during the creation of one of Britain's most cherished Christmas singles, a terrible injustice was suffered by a respected member of the rock fraternity. And I still haven't got over it. Yeah? Because I was dumped upon from a very great height by someone who's been off the hook for too long. Tonight I'm going to nail them, good and proper. Yeah. Now, the lecture will be concluded with an analysis of the spaceman's message in Chris de Burr's A Spaceman Came Travelling. We heard a brief extract a moment ago. The uninitiated among you may be under the impression that it's just a mindless chant. You know, because that's what it sounds like, doesn't it? La, 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 la. No, it's not a mindless chant. It's a coded message containing a recipe for eternal peace. I've only recently been told about this, and as far as I'm aware, nobody has yet cracked the code. Until now. Because I've had it deciphered, and the results are here today in this envelope. It's obviously incredibly important for everyone's sake that I reveal its contents as soon as possible. So I will do, a little bit later on. Now, if you're listening at home, I trust you're all sitting comfortably. Given the fact that today it's Christmas Day, you probably are. By now, some of you may be lying down, which is not advisable. You can't be writing complex linear notes about Cliff Richard in a horizontal position. Well, maybe you can. Meanwhile, here in the college lecture theatre, we have a sizeable coterie of rock music undergraduates. Welcome. Are you having a good Christmas?
Yes!
Well, good for you. I'm not. No, because I'm still stuck in a destructive relationship with an aromatherapist called Wendy. Recently things have gone from bad to worse. And today of all days she walked out on me. Yeah. It was all a silly misunderstanding. I mistook one of her Hopi ear candles for a breadstick. Because I hadn't had any breakfast. You know, I didn't know when dinner was going to be. Because you never do on Christmas Day, do you? You're waiting forever. And, but I'd eaten most of it before I realised. Because they don't taste too bad with hummus. yes, instead of having Christmas dinner with me, Wendy accepted an invitation from Christian, lead vocalist with Staffordshire-based folk group Webbed Foot, to a vegetarian buffet aboard his camper van, which, incidentally, Wendy recently spiritually cleansed by burning juniper twigs while ringing a finger bell in multiples of nine. So, you know, it could be nine times or 81 or 700 and something, yeah. No, she wouldn't have attempted that one, surely. All I can say is good riddance to them both. I hope they choke on the lentil stuffing. Yeah. Now, Wendy's absence has at least enabled me to borrow her record player, plus her Christmas singles collection, which, although impoverished compared to my own, does fill in some gaps. Because I never bought the trashy ones, you know, Shaking Stevens, Darna, stuff like that. I only bought class. Now, this is one of mine. Yeah, this will be a quality Christmas ditty. Can't tell what it is, though. The label's ripped, but let's give it a listen. What the hell's that? Eh? What? Oh. Yeah, that's one of Wendy's got into my box by accident. Sorry about that. All right. What about this one, then? Ah, Jethro Tull. Ring out solstice bells. Yeah, Jethro Tull was stuck at number 28 for 2 weeks in December 76. Uncomfortably sandwiched between Bonnie Tyler and the Stylistics.
Maybe to the distance, Mr. Sun.
Fantastic. Now, although that was Jethro Tull's only Christmas song to ever chart, their link with Christmas remains strong as ever, since Tull vocalist Ian Anderson now sells Christmas trees for a living. Well, no, he's got one or two growing on his estate in Scotland. And now the Yuletide rap I promised you earlier. This is going to save us a lot of time, listing as it does all the number one chart artists from Christmas 52 to the present day. Now, my drum machine AC adapter blew up yesterday, so if you don't mind, we'll use the jingle bells for seasonal accompaniment. Right. In 52, Al Martino was sitting at the top. In 53, Frankie Lane had nabbed that special slot. In 54, it was Winifred Atwell. She trained as a pharmacist. In 55, Dickie Valentine, he died in a car crash on his mist. In 56, Johnny Ray made death by a nasty fall. In 57, Harry Belafonte had the biggest hit of all. In 58, Conway Twitty, he lived in Twitty City. He did. In 59, Emil Ford and the Checkmates were sitting pretty. In 60, Cliff. 61, Frankie Vaughan. In 62, Elvis was top of the farm. From 63 to 67, the Beatles sold the most, apart from 1966 when Tom Jones ruled the roost. The meter changed there, didn't it? In 68, the scaffold. In 69, Rolf Harris was the pop king. In 1970, Dave Edmunds could hear somebody knocking. In 71... Hey, come on, we've still got a lot to get through. In 71, Benny Hill was the fastest milkman in the West. In 72, little Jimmy Osmond with that song we all detest. In 73, unofficially, Brian Appleton sold the fastest. In 74, Mudd. 75, Queen. 76, Johnny Mathis. Actually, can we skip a few years? Because otherwise we'll be here all night. And I couldn't make the next batch rhyme. So we'll go up to 1981, the Human League. Ah, that's a little better. In 82, Rennie and Renato. Remember his dreadful sweater. In 83, the Flying Pickets. In 84, Band-Aid. In 85, Shaking Stevens. I'll stop now, if I may. I'll stop before you think that reading lists out is my hobby. Oh, I'll just tell you that in 93 it was Mr. Blobby with Mr. Blobby. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks. Yes, I trivialised the whole thing by mentioning a novelty single at the end, didn't I? Apologies, but I had to complete the rhyme. Yeah. I'm not sure that the sleigh bells contributed much there. Did you like them? You did? Right, well, let's have some more then. Now, perhaps I'm missing something here, but how can a snowman bring the snow? Do you know what I mean? Until the snow has arrived, the snowman cannot exist. For he is snow. Precipitation during cold weather brings the snow, creating conditions that might allow for the construction of a snowman. I'm sorry to bang on about this. It just, you know, it makes me very angry when people tell patent untruths. Can I just say at this juncture that I really don't like snowmen. They make me feel uneasy. And I do wish people wouldn't build them. I'm not that fond of snow either. In fact, I can safely say
I'm not dreaming of a white Christmas.
You and me both, Gilbert.
I'm dreaming of the whole day long is a
bee. You can get your scarves out if you want to on this one. Yeah, well, all I'm dreaming of is a new wah-wah pedal. Well, that's what I've asked Wendy for. But I'll be looking to get a pair of socks. So, although I have my axe with me tonight, there's going to be no wah-wah, no flange, no auto-pan reverb, just acoustic guitar, though played, I hope, with considerable flair. Yeah. Did you know that was Jingle Bells? Did you know there's a verse in Jingle Bells that nobody ever sings because the words are considered too banal? I'll sing it for you. The horse was lean and light, misfortune was his lot. We got into a drifting bank and we became upsot. I think they may have a point. Still, I can't help feeling sorry for that verse. Do you know what I mean? Never getting a proper airing. A bit like my stuff. I've got 14 albums worth on mini disc. It's heartbreaking. I'm sorry. Mustn't get bitter. Listen. Here's another little known section from a famous song. See if you can guess which classic this is the forgotten intro to. I don't know the tune, so I'm making it up, but the words are genuine. The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, LA. But it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be up north. Oh, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. That's true. In fact, it could be argued that the song goes downhill once the White Christmas bit kicks in. It's a lovely intro. But I suppose the intro to White Christmas was scrapped because it's just not very Christmassy. Banging on about orange trees and how hot it is. And this is right, you know, the words have got to be right, especially in a Christmas song. And if they're not right, they must be rewritten. Even if that means scribbling them on the back of a beer mat. And thereby hangs a tale. One night in March 73, a young man from Sallyoke called Brian ventured to a pub in Wolverhampton called The Trumpet. Not on his own, for he was underage. He was in the company of his father, Eric Appleton. Yeah, 'cause the boy was me. Now, the purpose of the visit was to celebrate his successful completion of the cycling proficiency test. Not Eric, his son, Brian, me. Yeah, I'm gonna switch to the first person. It'll be a lot simpler. Anyway, so there we were in the snug, me and my dad, and I couldn't help but overhear this group of blokes arguing on the next table. The next thing I know, one of them with a top hat on, an enormous sideburn, starts singing, and he went, "Buy me a rocking chair so I can watch the world go by. Buy me a looking glass to look you in the eye." Now, I thought it was quite a cool lyric myself, redolent of the imagery of early Cat Stevens. But the bloke next to him, he had a Cleopatra fringe and buck teeth. He was less impressed. "Rocking chairs, looking glasses," I heard him remonstrate. "It might be a nice song for your granny, but we're not going to have a Christmas hit with those words." So this bloke with the top hat immediately began looking for a sheet of paper so he could write some fresh lyrics with more of a Yuletide flavour. And actually, I could see him eyeing up my cycling proficiency certificate. But now I wasn't going to let him have that. I'd only just been given it. Anyway, he started writing on his beer mat, but the pen wouldn't work because it was too soggy. So he tried another beer mat and another, but they were all too damp. I mean, it was their own fault. They'd been arguing and jostling each other so much that they'd spilled beer everywhere. So I leaned over and said, "Hey, you can use my beer mat if you like." Because it was dry. Because I'd been very careful not to spill my shandy. Anyway, he took the beer mat and he thanked me. And to cut a long story short, upon my beer mat, a new lyric was written. One I think you may recognise, though I still prefer the rocking chair version myself. Yeah? Recognise that one? I think you do. Yes, it was those glam shockers Slade with "Merry Christmas, Everybody," written in a pub on a beer mat. Absolutely true. And at the time, I was more than happy to help Slade out. I didn't want anything in return. But, you know, time is a great stealer. over the years, I've been dumped upon by so many rock stars. I've had a change of heart. I want my pound of flesh and I want it now. Well, as soon as possible. And I think Noddy Holder accepts the current situation can't continue. In a recent radio interview, which I have access to from the audio archive department of the college, he openly acknowledges my creative contribution. I've got it here. Let's have a listen.
I thought it was great. I mean, that's what it needed, somebody to come along like that. The main thing he did for us was set us in a direction. And he sort of drummed it into us that we could do it.
Yeah. thanks for that, Noddy. But now I must insist on some financial reward for my efforts. You see, in relinquishing my beer mat, I facilitated the creation of the most popular Christmas song of modern times. Merry Christmas, everybody, is on every radio station sleigh list this time of year. It clocks up stupendously large PRS royalties, of which I shall be receiving 25%. No, that's a bit greedy. 15%. 10. I'll settle for 10. Oh, will I? I don't know. I'm confused. Now, the important thing is that we get round a table with an intermediary and begin a dialogue. Let's just look to the future now. It's only just begun, as someone once wrote upon my beer mat. Yeah. Ah, shut off, Noddy, you smoke swine. Yeah, I'm sorry. I promised that I wouldn't get bitter tonight. Let's get things back on a festive footing. If you've just joined us, it's still Christmas Day, I'm afraid, and you're listening to Brian Appleton's Christmas single with me, Brian Appleton. Oh, yeah. Now, this next piece, to me, sounds like a drunken idiot who stormed the stage at a working man's club and persuaded the resident band to let him have a go. It's that bad. Oh, yeah. So you may be surprised to learn that is actually the work of the most celebrated rock guitarist of all time, Jimi Hendrix. Now, to be fair to Jimmy, I suspect that prior to making this recording, he succumbed to the offer of a small sweet sherry. Or two. What do you think? I think so.
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing.
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Cliff. Then again, Cliff wouldn't be Cliff without Christmas. Or would he? Would he? I'm not so sure. Some observers have suggested that for a time, Cliff Richard turned pagan. The evidence lying in the lyrics of his 1988 Christmas number one, Mistletoe and Vine, which are rich in pagan imagery. And the signs were always there, even when Cliff was a schoolboy growing up in India. I refer you to Cliff Richard's 1975 autobiography, Which One's Cliff? Which I happen to have a copy of here in the lecture theatre. In chapter one, Kites and Curry, Cliff tells a disturbing tale of how he would systematically sever the kite strings of other children's kites by soaking his own kite string overnight in a mixture of egg white and ground glass. So it's in there. Chapter 1, Kites and Curry. But the memory of this and other childhood misdemeanours must have weighed heavily on Cliff's soul. For in a Radio 1 interview with Simon Mayo in 91, Cliff, while masquerading as the ultimate pagan symbol, Santa Claus, spills the beans about his ungodly past. Let's hear.
Santa, as you know, is here. So, Santa, if you don't mind, we'll have a confess. A lot of people would think perhaps you haven't got much to confess, but...
Well, I'm afraid I have, really. I mean, I know that everyone realises that I'm very kind to my reindeer and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I have to admit that when I was a lot younger, mm-hmm. I did some pretty nasty things.
Yeah. What did I tell you? But, you know, fair play to Cliff. He saw the light and he fought his way back along the path of redemption, recording 2 years after Mistletoe and Wine, the deeply religious roundelay, Saviour's Day.
Open your eyes on stage.
Oh, the scarves are out again. Cliff was back as unofficial guardian of the nation's morals, and we repaid him handsomely by purchasing his single in truckloads, which took him straight to the number one spot. On the Saviour's Day. Shades of the cause there, yeah? Anticipates the cause. So strong and unwavering was the nation's state of piety that the following week, who was at number one? Iron Bloody Maiden. It's true. Bring your daughter to the slaughter. Not very Christmassy. So I tell you what. Let's have now, as promised earlier, a spaceman came travelling. Chris de Burr's sublime Yuletide offering of 86, which sadly only reached number 40 in the UK charts. And then it was only there for a week. And that wasn't until after Christmas in January 87. Bit of a cock-up. Yeah, the spaceman was a little late in delivering the Christmas message. Yeah, he was, but to be fair, he had a good excuse. He was coming from another galaxy. Yeah. And this reinforces my argument against those who claim the spaceman's message is trite and without meaning. Because it goes, la 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 la. But it has to mean something. Think about it. What spaceman is going to travel light years, putting himself and his craft in terrible danger just to deliver gibberish? I'm sorry, but it doesn't add up. It doesn't. So, what is it? What does it mean, all this la la la? Well, it's Morse code, isn't it? It's as simple as that. How do we know? Well, because my dad told me, because he used to be an engineer for the GPO. Yeah. And in this envelope lies the deciphered message. Thanks for doing this, Dad. I really hope that the spaceman's words will impart some eternal truth. It's exciting, isn't it? I feel like I'm at an award ceremony. No, I don't want that feeling, because that's trivialising what is a monumental moment for me. Well, for all of us. Right. I've opened the envelope now. I'm delighted to reveal that the spaceman's message is DDBDX, DDBDX. What the hell does that mean? If it was BMX, it would make some sense. The spaceman's asking for a bike for Christmas, but no, I can't fathom this. Unless this is an additional code that's been imposed for extra security. Of course, that's it. This must be a very important message. I better go and call me dad, get him cracking that new code. I might even pop up to Celio and see him in the flesh. And me mum. Yeah, it's been a while. And it is Christmas after all. Hey, maybe that's the spaceman's message. Don't be a recluse, man. This Christmas, chill with your family. No, that can't be the message. You can't chill with your family. And it's that sad universal truth with which I'll leave you. For it is the central theme of the final and surely most important song in this year's Christmas lecture. My Christmas single. Brian Appleton's Christmas single. You may detect in this number a very slight similarity to Dickie Valentine's 1955 hit, Christmas Alphabet. But I've changed the words and tune sufficiently, I think, to avoid court proceedings. Well, I'll soon find out if I haven't, won't I? C is for the constipation everybody gets. H is for a hangover nobody forgets. R is for the arguments with friends and family. I is for indigestion. I beg your pardon, was that me? S is for the socks you get with a pattern most unpleasant. T is for the tears that fall when the kids open their presents. M is for the misery this season always sends. A is for the apathy that gradually descends. S is for the smell of sprouts wrapped in a serviette. Hang on, I've got to explain that. You see, I didn't want to offend my host by leaving them. the sprouts, so I shoved them into a napkin and into my pockets, but I forgot all about them until a New Year's Eve party when I went to blow my nose. Not a pleasant way to see in the new year. Anyway, hey, where were we? I tell you what, might as well start again from the top, yeah? Now, as much as I despise audience participation, feel free to clap along, all right? Come on. Carry on. Capital C is for the constipation everybody gets. H is for a hangover nobody forgets. R is for the arguments with friends and family. I is for indigestion. Beg your pardon, was that me? S is for the socks you get with a pattern most unpleasant. T is for the tears that fall when the kids open their presents. M is for the misery this season always sends. A is for the apathy that gradually descends. S is for the smell of sprouts wrapped in your serviettes. So there you go, now you all know your Christmas alphabet. Thank you. Thank you very much. Cheers. Hey. It's, we've got to go. We've got to go. Listen, Wendy, if you can hear me, if you're listening, love, and you're tiring of the cramped conditions afforded by a 1972 VW camper van, why not come home? We can have Christmas dinner together. Tomorrow, that is, because the turkey's still defrosting. I forgot to take it out of the freezer. Yeah, I had a tin of ravioli for my dinner today. That was all right. Anyway, listen, enjoy the rest of the festive season, but please don't get overexcited like the two vocalists in this, our final Christmas single, Little Eva and Dee Dee Irwin from 1963.
Brian Appleton's Christmas single was written and performed by Graham Fellows, with additional material from Rex Brough. The producer was Dawn Lewis.
Thanks a lot. Watch out for spacemen.